All right, let's bring in Randy Foy, former Villanova teammate of Kyle Lowry, on the line right now. Randy, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Man, appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Are you getting kind of sick of this? Like, are you getting kind of sick of always talking about Kyle Lowry?
Nah, I'm not like that, man. If you deserve it, like, I'll talk about you all day. But if you don't deserve it, then I don't really want to talk about it.
Oh, man, I need more friends like you. Maybe I don't deserve it, though.
Yeah, so kind of tough. Yeah, I think you just told on yourself.
Damn. Yeah, I was going through it. I was like, that makes a lot more sense. We kind of want to start with this. Is there anything about his career now that surprises you, where you really sit back and think, man, I can't believe this has happened for him?
To be honest, I can't, like, when I really look at it, I can't believe he won a championship. Like, that's something I was like, wow, that's just something that, you know, coming into the league, we both came into the NBA at the same time. And that's just something that, you know, every player wants. I don't care what no one says. You know, you'll throw out the all-stars and, you know, the points and all the accolades. But to win a championship, seeing that last year, was just like, wow, I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, it took a lot of people in Toronto by surprise, too, that they watched this, you know, franchise that used to have the Purple Dinosaur.
I don't know if you're aware of things that Toronto, how we were before Kyle Lowry, but it wasn't so great.
Yeah.
not too many great moments.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people...
We won a dunk contest and gave up 81 to Kobe. That was, like, what they were basically before Lowry came. Like, Raptors.
Yeah, so we got to share your...
Yeah, I had Vince, too. You had Vince and T-Mac.
Yeah, we had Tracy McGrady for, like, 5 minutes.
And then Vince saying, I want it the hell out of here.
And then Vince was like, get me out of here as soon as possible. I'm going to go to my graduation instead of get ready for a playoff game. Yeah. And which you were probably
Sixers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. You're like, was it against the team from Philly? Yeah, it was. It was against the team from Philly.
Yeah.
No. What's your favorite Kyle Lowry teammate moment?
My favorite moment is a weird moment, but one of my favorite moments that describe him best to me was we were getting ready to play Florida, and we were in Tennessee, and he was like under the table, like we were getting ready to eat pregame meal, get ready for, you know, to play Florida to go to the Sweet 16, and he was under the table, and he's just like, my stomach hurt, I got a stomach ache, but he was laying under the table. And Coach Wright, you know, in his own way, he was like, what the, you know what, bleep, 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 is he doing? And, at the time, I was like, you know, Randy, you need to go talk to Cal. You need to talk to him. You need to get him right. You need to get his head right because this is a huge game. And I talked to him, and he's just like, my stomach hurt. And we let him go to the room and rest. And then afterwards, he was like, yeah, my stomach really didn't hurt. I just was so nervous, man. I was so nervous to play against them because, you know, at that time Florida had some really good guards, and Robeson and some of those other guys, and Cal at that time was a freshman, came back probably 3 to 6 games, you know, I think he only played like between 6 and 10 games because he just came off a torn ACL, so he was nervous. It just was a big moment, not only for him, but, you know, for all of us in the school to, you know, put Nova back on the map. And that's like one of my favorite moments because it describes him to a T, because he's not going to say, oh, I'm scared, or, you know, I'm fatigued, or I'm tired, or I'm hurt. He's going to try to work through it, but he'll be honest with you afterwards and tell you what is exactly what was wrong with him.
Man, that's so interesting, too, and, like, such an interesting perspective into Kyle Lowry, because the one that we get to see as fans is a guy that's, I would think that if you were asked, okay, use some adjectives to describe Kyle Lowry, I feel like fearless would come up as one of the first things. Like, that's one of the things that you would say about Kyle Lowry. How do you think about him? Oh, man, he's a bulldog. He's fearless. He's tough. So to hear like moments like that where even he was nervous, it just like that doesn't compute with the guy that we generally get to watch. So you knowing him, was he like when you first, I think I remember listening to you on your podcast talk about Lowry once, I might have this wrong, but that you had been asked to kind of take him under your wing. And was he like, was he difficult early? Like, was there something that you kind of had to impart on him early that you think really helped him down the line? Because like that, Ben had mentioned it, that early in his career in the NBA, when he came to Toronto, there was a rap of a guy that was really difficult to deal with. And now it's like he's viewed as the ultimate leader, the ultimate teammate with the Raptors. Like that's the whole thing, is that so much of the Raptors culture basically feels like it's built around Kyle Lowry and the guy that holds the standard of work ethic and caring and showing up in every game and doing it by example, and then also being loved by his teammates.
I just remember early on with me and him, we just bonded right away, and that was before he even got there. He came to work out, and he came to work out with us. And he was a pit bull. You know, he was already, you knew he was going to be a starter, you know, somehow, some way. You knew he was going to play right away. Got on the court with us, and then he got there, and it just, you know, everything clicked with us, and we were like, you know, little brother, big brother, even though I'm 2 years older than him, but right away, just little brother, big brother. And he, at times in the beginning, he had problems with authority when Coach Wright would tell him to do something and he really didn't want to do it. You know, he would let Coach Wright know in his own little way, because Coach Wright has complete control over every situation. Wright knew it, and he knew that we needed him. So, you know, he kind of sought out the situation and said, well, who does Cal look up to, and who is he, you know, close to? And they figured out that it was me. And at the time, you know, I was the best on the team. So, you know, he just was like, all right, if Cal's, whatever classes Randy take, I want Cal in those classes. You know, at the class, make sure he's at practice. Make sure he don't go home, sneak home, because he snuck home and played in the summer league game and he tore his ACL. It's right before the freshman season. So make sure he don't leave. If he do leave, you know, make sure you call someone. If he's doing this, make sure you let someone know. And it just was, you know, I just was like his brother. But at the same time, I just was letting him know, like, you can't do this. Like, this, like, he's not going to let this fly here at Nova. You got to do it the Nova way. And he fought it to the end. And I think towards the end, at the end of the sophomore year, Coach Wright said to me, you know, Randy's leaving. He has to leave his senior year, and I think you should test the waters. But Coach Wright didn't know. Cal already told me either way he was leaving and going to the NBA.
Yeah.
But that's just his makeup. Any, you know, male authority, this will be like an uncle or a father figure role who he really don't know. They try to tell him to do something. He's not going for it.
Did you ever doubt that he would become who he became? Like, when he's doing this, when he's having his public battles with authority figures, when he's, you know, not listening to what he's being told to do, did you ever think, man, this guy's just, it's not, like, he has all the talent in the world and the makeup is obviously there if he could ever put it together, but it's just not going to happen for this guy?
You know, Kevin McHale drafted me at Minnesota, and then Kevin McHale went to the Rockets. Cal was asking about, you know, how is he as a coach? And I was like, he's similar to Coach Wright. You know, if you play your tail off on the defensive end, he's going to let you pretty much do whatever on offensive end. And, you know, he's really not going to do no disciplining or yelling in the game besides X's and O's, but he'll get after you in practice. And then I remember going down to Houston to play, and I'm like on the court shooting, and I'm walking back, and then Kevin McHale was like, man, your teammate is a tough dude to coach like that. and I was like, man, like, even Kevin McHale, he has no respect what Kevin McHale is telling him. And then Kyle be like, man, that dude, he don't know what he's doing, man. And I'll try to talk to him. I'd be like, just give him a chance, bro. Just give him a chance. And I was like, trust me, like, you'll be all right. He was like, nah, man, that dude don't know. And then, but it was so funny to me, because it don't matter who you are. You know, you could be, you know, Barack Obama telling him something, and he's like, nah, I don't think, I'm going to do it my way. I don't think what you're trying to tell me how to become president, I don't think your way works. I'm going to try to do it my way. But that's just Cal.
Man, that cracks me up. Like, yeah, it's Kevin McHale. He's like, yeah,
no, what have you done?
It was so funny, because I was like, man, Kevin McHale is like one of the best power forwards ever. Yeah. He like created moves that are still used to this day, yeah. And you're not listening to him. And he's trying to explain something to you.
Yeah,
I was like, wow.
All-time team, all-time wins. Like, yeah, no, it's, yeah, no.
Yeah, right?
It's really great. That, do you see him, like, Ben and I were talking about this earlier, like, what his post-career kind of could look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he should be a ref. I think he'd be the best NBA ref who ever lived. There would be nothing
more. Not after last night. Yeah. He tried to dive through George Hill legs last night.
Nova? Was something that he had really worked out before that?
But of all the things to complain about,
you know,
too.
Cal had so many fights at Nova, you know, between, you know, we had like fights and tussles. Mike Nardi, there's a coach now at Nova, Alan Ray, you know, Curtis something. Like he tests everyone, and then once he see that like this guy is gonna back down, so just let me chill out. And he's a little bigger than me. Once he saw that, it was over.
Yeah, again,
still. And he never tests you again. But he's gonna test everyone. And once he see, like, no, Cal, we're doing it this way. We're not doing it your way. Well, then he's going to be like, all right, whatever, do it your way then. It ain't going to work, but do it your way.
Yeah. Again, be a ref. Be the ref.
Doesn't pay enough.
That's the thing, though. Just do it out of passion because he clearly loves officiating. He clearly loves the rules. He would be so great. But do you see an actual career where he ends up finishing this and he does go in to try to continue it with basketball like that? He would stick around, that he'd be a guy that would want to coach, that he would be a guy that would want to go into a front office. Like, what do you think post-retirement Kyle Lowry looks like?
I don't think in hell he can be around, let's just say, basketball with front office, coaching, or just no type of management, no type of coaching, anything, refereeing, because if someone disrespects him, he's going to be ready to fight. No matter how successful he is, no matter how much money he has, whatever, he's going to be ready. I think Cal, he should look at trying to be an owner where he's around the game, but he's away from the game enough where he's not there on a day-to-day basis to see what people are doing. So I think that for him, I think he should be an owner because anything when he's there on a day-to-day basis and he's understanding exactly what's going on with the team, and things are not going their way, and even if things are going their way, he's going to be extremely challenging for the younger players.
He'd do reverse Carlissimo, like be the first coach to choke somebody out in the game. or actually, no, just like new Bobby Knight. Like,
yeah,
he's
that's
the
right.
guy who's throwing chairs.
NBA Bobby Knight.
Yeah, NBA Bobby Knight. Like, let's just have that. That'd be fun. I'm down for that. That's pretty good.
Has he mellowed at all, Randy? Like, I know he's a family man now. Like, there must have been some of the edge removed from him.
The kids have mellowed him out. You know, he still has his moments, or you know, he still has those traits of where, you know, things are done my way, and this is me. I don't care who you are. I'm wearing my hat this way. I'm wearing my shirt this way. I don't care. You know, he still have those traits, but as far as being, the kids have mellowed him out, where he's like, you know, you could tell it's just a little different. You know, they have you can see that soft spot that, you know, the kids had created within him.
So this is only going to be his first jersey retirement. Well, I guess maybe he's had it in high school. I don't know about that. But, like, this is going to be one. It's clearly going to get in Toronto. In fact, most people are consensus here agreeing that his number at this point has to be the first one that goes up in the rafters. But now there's, like, an emerging conversation about Lowry going to the Hall of Fame, whether or not he'll be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell us the case. Like, make the case for Kyle Lowry, Hall of Famer.
Look at some other people who go in, right? They weren't the second best, you know, second best player on a team, a leader for a team that has won an NBA championship, six-time All-Star, has basically put not only a team on his back, but also a country best player leads last year, and everybody like, oh, Toronto's done. Look at you guys this year. I think it's, I'm not sure, is it either second or third in the East? When the East is pretty good this year. And just what he brings to the table, you know, that blue collar, hardworking, I would think people would appreciate it. Like you said, definite jersey retirement in Toronto, but I think that as far as Hall of Fame, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't.
There's so many guys going there without champions. If it's all about rings, right?
Yeah.
So many dudes going there without rings.
Yeah.
So many dudes going there, you know, with, you know, two or three All-Star appearances. That guy has been to the All-Star game six times. He has a ring. And like I said, he didn't only put a team on his back or help a team win a championship, but a country. He brought a country together from coast to coast. So that's my argument for it.
Yeah, and the NBA Hall of Fame or Basketball Hall of Fame does use that like as a qualifier, which is like, yeah, your impact on international basketball, and that is part in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then you also look at, yeah, stuff with the Olympics, and you can't say it. I know you don't want to say it.
The Olympics.
Yeah, but you don't want to say it because it's, you know, it'll get a splash on a headline, but like, yeah, Mitch Richmond is in, and he was, yeah, Mitch Richmond. So like, who's better, Mitch Richmond or Kyle Lowry? It's like, it's pretty clear. He's going in.
Yeah, I think
so. I'm just, you know, I'm always politically correct, man.
I know.
I'm like a politician.
That's why I said the name. So. That's like Mitch Richmond is like, I feel bad for Mitch Richmond because he was good, but now he's the name that everyone's like, was that the test? Is like, are you better than Mitch Richmond test? And for Kyle Lowry, it's unequivocally yes, go in the Hall of Fame.
Does he cry
tonight? Like, I think it's crazy, but I think Lou Will and Jamal Crawford should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
now
like, once it's all said and done for Lou Will, I think Jamal Crawford got like 20,000 plus points, something crazy. That's a lot of points.
Jamal Crawford, you could talk me into Lou Williams' tougher argument for me to hear.
What if he gets a ring?
It depends on what he do this year.
Yeah, I
just put it that way.
Yeah, that's true. He's still got time, and Crawford should still be in the
NBA. That could be the premature talks about it, but it's just like a lot of guys, like talks around the locker room and in the league, right? There's a lot of guys who deserve it, and there's a lot of guys who you look at it and say, nah, that dude ain't supposed to be it. It's just, you know, he had a good personality. He had a good following internationally and here on the U.S. soil. So I get it, but he wasn't playing against him. He wasn't like that. And he was a part of a good team where he was like the third or fourth wheel and made it happen, had a long career, scored points. But that's how guys look at it in locker rooms.
Mm-hmm. Does Kyle cry tonight?
When it happened for me, I teared up, but I didn't let a tear go. But it was just like emotional, like when you see your, like when they show the highlight and then you see your number like unveiled. Mm-hmm. That was like emotional for me. And the craziest thing, I was playing Toronto the next day, but I think he does, man, because I think for one, you know, his wife and his sons are going to be there. So I think I see a tear.
All right.
I think I see a tear. If I had to guess, if I was a betting man, I'll bet on seeing a couple tears.
I think I'm with you. Randy, appreciate the time. Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. This is great.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.